This article is called Tap Into Your Vocation. It's written by Aaron Strebus, who's a content editor at The Living Lutheran. What shall I do with my life? The question puzzles us as youngsters when we hear well-meaning adults ask, "What do you want to be when you grow up?" It riddles us as students when teachers inquire about post-graduation plans. It presses us on in adulthood when we consider work, volunteer opportunities, or further schooling. When we face it again, it's often when our jobs end. Our children move out, our loved ones depart, or our living arrangements shift. The Christian answer to the question, "What shall I do with my life?" asserts Dorothy C. Baske, is vocation. In other words, respond to God's call. Bass, a Lutheran author, studied vocation and other associated topics alongside her husband, Lutheran academic Mark Schwen, while updating their anthology, Leading Lives That Matter, for publication of a second edition this June. Though student input guided their first edition, Schwen said vocational discernment isn't just for young people. Vocation has to do with the shape and meaning of a human life, he said. So long as you're alive and functioning, you have multiple callings, such as grandparent, parishioner, citizen. It's very Lutheran to think you're multiply stationed in places of responsibility. In Martin Luther's day, the general public believed that those called to serve ministry were more noble than the common person. The word vocatio was reserved for spiritual occupations, such as being a priest or a nun, said Timothy Wengert, professor emeritus of Reformation history at United Lutheran Seminary. What's revolutionary about Luther's theology is that he believed God calls everyone to serve. Vocation, says Wengert, gives our lives purpose from childhood through older adult. He understands that we're called through our baptism. He insists also that we are called into this world to serve our neighbor. He said Luther understands the callings of God to include absolutely everything we do in life. Vocation includes both daily rhythms or livelihoods and our responsibilities as they relate to others. Luther was especially interested in familial relationships. The very act of changing diapers, he declared, is a living out of one's parental vocation. Any kind of honorable work, any daily activity, becomes an expression of vocation, said Michael Benethum, author of Listen, God is Calling, and director of Evangelical Mission in the Northeastern Pennsylvania Synod. For a child, that might be doing homework. For a homemaker, it's keeping a home. For an artisan, it's using your gifts or talents to create good products for the benefit of customers. What is key for Luther is living with a sense of Christian love and intentionality. Martin Luther King Jr. echoed such notions in a 1967 address to students in Philadelphia. When you discover that what you're doing in life, you set out to do it as if God called you to this particular moment, and if it falls your lot to be a street sweeper, sweep streets like Michelangelo painted pictures. Sweep streets like Beethoven composed music. Sweep streets like Leontine Price sings before the Metropolitan Opera. Sweep streets like Shakespeare wrote poetry. Sweep streets so well that all the hosts of heaven and earth will have to pause and say, "Here lived a great street sweeper who swept his job very well." Even work that society deems lowly is honorable in God's eyes insofar as it contributes to the well-being of our neighbors. Luther's teachings on vocation bring dignity to our daily living. One criticism of Luther's stance on vocation is that it suggests menial labors should be content with their station in life. Benethum said this is a misunderstanding. People suggest Luther is trying to keep the servant class down, but Luther was social for social mobility, and what he was saying is you may stay in the social role and position you're in. He was acting over and against a religious culture that said the only way to lead a holy life was to enter ministry. Every moment can be holy when you live your days attuned to God's call. For Luther, the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, to which we are joined in our baptisms, frees us from having to impress God with who or what we are and by what we do. By faith in God's promise in Christ, we are free to serve our neighbor, not by escaping from this work to live among religious people, but by living our everyday lives. How do people shift their perspectives and tap into their vocation? Luther's household chart, found in his small catechism, is a great starting point. Wengert said that Luther divided life into three areas. Household, this encompasses family life and career because many worked from their home during his time. Church and society. Number one, at work or at home. Child, sibling, parent, doting grandparent, proud godparents, partner, spouse, roommate, friend, pet whisperer, tender of houseplants, begin your exploration of vocation by considering the many hats you wear at home. Some are duty-driven, others relational. So ask yourself, what or who do I care for, and who cares for me? Luther notes in his household chart that even widowers have a role to fulfill. If you're mourning, you might also name that on your list. Additionally, you actively host visitors such as neighbors or exchange students. Now reflect on your daily work. You may actively be studying, raising children, working for an organization or a company, taking a break from work, or retired. Perhaps you're a consultant or a freelancer. Maybe you're in ministry or the armed forces. Consider the micro-responsibilities associated with your calls. For example, a pastor may also write and speak extensively outside of her or his congregation. A retiree may live his vocation by pursuing travel, hobbies, time with family, or volunteerism. Spend some time brainstorming fresh approaches that you bring to each call. For example, you may also resolve to approach your friendships with more intention, or maybe a shift in perspective will provide extra energy the next time you're summoned to parent or grandparent a child. Now think about your church. In her role as Spiritual Gifts Director for Women of the ELCA, Valora Starr has observed that parishioners still tend to see vocation as relegated to rostered ministers. Luther would remind us that our call as members of a faith community is equally important. Answering this call can take a variety of shapes, including our presence at worship, our friendship toward others in the congregation, our leadership in a committee, or mentoring young people. For this call, it's important to discern all of one's gifts and talents. An incorrect volunteer match can diminish a parishioner's joy or sense of purpose in his congregation. For example, a banker joins a congregation and is expected to be the treasurer. She really wants to volunteer using gifts besides her ability to work with numbers, but she feels stuck in this call and eventually burns out. And this is where the ELCA's Spiritual Gifts Assessment Tool can come in handy. Starr suggests that ELCA members use the tool to appraise all their spiritual gifts so they can find volunteer opportunities most closely matching their natural talents and abilities. Congregations need musicians, teachers, preachers, committee members, greeters, readers, quilters, organizers, and others for creative, innovative ministries. Congregations are wonderful little laboratories of vocation, Bass said. Older people and rostered ministers are often crucial in helping young parishioners determine their vocation. Before volunteering, ask yourself, what does my congregation need? How am I involved? Where do I need to step back in order to realign my talents with the existing calls? Beyond your congregation, consider living out your calling through your synod. If you aren't already receiving your synod's newsletter, sign up. Your vocation as an ELCA member might also include the work of the churchwide organization, from ELCA World Hunger to ELCA Advocacy to the Youth Gathering. There is a place for you to match your talents with existing ministries. Consider your spiritual gifts and passions and the ways they might match the needs of the ELCA and its three expressions, your congregation, your synod, and the churchwide organization. Ask, do I feel tug toward leadership? Do I feel a need to step back? Remember, you don't have to do it all. We're part of a faith community doing God's work with our hands together. Then, around the block, country and world. Now consider your vocation as it relates to society. Luther knew that the church wasn't the center of the universe. He was more interested in how God calls me and us outside the church walls. The absolute core of Luther's ethics is the notion of neighbor love. Vocation urges us to love and serve our neighbors. Calls in society include being a neighbor to people living on our block or our community, a greeter to those visiting or seeking refuge in our city, citizen who votes, pays taxes, obeys laws, and speaks out against injustice, a volunteer who assists schools or civic organizations, an activist who protests poverty, racism, and other kinds of injustice near and far, an earth dweller tasked with caring for a planet in crisis. For Lutherans, the question is, what shall I do with my life? It has many answers, but we need to listen to only one voice, God's. Bafana Kumalo, a bivocational pastor of the Evangelical Lutheran Church in Southern Africa and a prominent activist for HIV and AIDS issues, human rights and gender justice, said it took him years to awaken to God's call in his life, and when he finally stopped running, the course of his life changed for good, mirroring his social justice work with faith. For those overwhelmed by the many calls available in one's life, Kumalo has this advice. God uses many ways to speak to us and get through to us. Listen to God's voice, pray about it, and allow the Holy Spirit to guide you. Much has changed since Luther introduced new lens for vocation. We're living with new technologies, cultural challenges, and environmental issues. The only constant is that God continues to call each of us to love and serve our neighbors. Sometimes answering God's call is easy. Other times it pulls us from our comfort zones. Nevertheless, Wengert believes that Lutherans are uniquely positioned to respond to God's call in this time and space. No other church emphasizes vocation quite the way Lutherans do, he said. It's something to be proud of, and I think it's part of the reason we have so many social ministries, not just in the ELCA, but in the Lutheran World Federation, too. The many organizations that act on behalf of the church remind us that we're not alone in our vocations. We're members of a vibrant global church, professing the gospel in word and deed. Despite our good efforts, sometimes the church falls short. We may run away from our calls. We might fail to raise our voices. Where is the voice of the church that says, our God is a God who loves all of us, unconditionally, Kumalo said. We need to escalate our voices so that we represent who has sent us. That is our mission in the world. Vocation requires courage. And this is where we must lean on our faith. Though God calls us into service through baptism, we can't do it all, and we don't get it right every time. We can do nothing to save the world ourselves. That job is for Jesus Christ alone. But God acts through us.